This is Sid Roth saying, Shalom, Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart. Welcome to today's edition of Messianic Vision and another appointment for you to be mentored to fulfill your destiny with one of our It's Supernatural guests. And now, here's your host for this program, It's Supernatural television producer, Ryan Bruss.
Thank you, Sid. Today on Messianic Vision, our guest is Dr. Sandy Calkin, and this is a real treat because we have not really done a show like this before. I'm so excited about it. You're going to hear all about that here in a moment. Now, Dr. Calkin, you're a Jewish man that loves Jesus, loves Yeshua, and you have a powerful testimony of how you met your Messiah. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. As a Jewish guy growing up, I was raised up in a conservative Orthodox segment of Judaism. I never in my wildest dreams ever believed that I would ever be a believer in Jesus. But it's amazing how circumstances in your life guide you beyond, even your own decisions, how the guidance system of God is in place. And what happened with me was basically I met a gal. I had gone through a difficult relationship, and I met a gal. I knew her from before. And she was seeking a relationship with Jesus. She was a Gentile girl. And, I really wasn't interested in it. But, she's was good looking. And so it's amazing what you listen to. you're dating a good looking girl. But at that time, she had relatives and people that had a personal relationship. And I kind of fought it. And one evening, I went to church with her brother and her. And we went into a church. It was a Pentecostal church. I had no idea what Pentecostal was or foggiest. And they're talking about tongues. I'm sitting there, and they're talking about the speaking in tongues. And my father was in the meat business, so I knew cow's tongues, lamb's tongues, veal, beef tongues. But, talking about that kind of tongue was just so foreign to me. And I got up and I walked out of the service, and a man kind of followed me out. And he came up to me and asked if he could pray with me. And I said, sure. My father was dying at the time. Nobody had really asked for prayer. It wasn't something that oftentimes happens in the synagogue. And so I said, sure, pray. And he starts to pray, and he prayed. I didn't think the prayer was going to go on that long. But in the middle of the prayer, he starts to speak in Hebrew. And, of course, my immediate thought was, what's the chances of another Jew being in a place like this? It just was kind of overwhelming. But I waited till he was finished, and I said, oh, you're Jewish. And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, well, where did you learn Hebrew? He said, that was Hebrew. And I said, you were speaking in Hebrew to me. I said, how'd you know I was Jewish? He said, I don't know who you are. And every time I would talk about him speaking in Hebrew, he would go, that was Hebrew? So here he was speaking in tongues, and it was a prayer that I had studied. He kept saying Adonai, 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 over, which is the name of God, over and over again, and which is the Ashkenazic version as opposed to the Sephardic version, which is Adonai. And so I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he's one of my people, and here he's not Jewish, and he's not doesn't know Hebrew, and I knew I'd walked into some supernatural happening. And you know, it's hard when you're educated to kind of figure these things out, and you say, well, gee, what happened to me here? But I realized that that was a time when something from out of this dimension was reaching out to me, and that was the night. It was after that that I asked Jesus. In fact, it's funny. I tried to make a deal with God. I said, how about I'll do something for you if you do something for me? the thing is, I forgot who I was dealing with. I'm dealing with a Jew. He always gets the best deal.
Right. So what did your parents think about all of this coming to Yeshua at the time?
They didn't know. But Patty had an uncle, Uncle Bill, who had been witnessing to me and was so excited when he found out that I had accepted Jesus and wrote me a letter. It was intercepted by my mother, who was just absolutely beside herself. My father was dying. And in the dictionary, beside Jewish mother's guilt trip is my mother's. she immediately put the guilt trip on me. You're going to kill your father. You're going to kill your grandparents. We'll be a disgrace in the Jewish community. Packed my clothes, whatever I had there at their house, and sent me out. And my father was crying, and they were crying, and it was just it was a terrible experience at that point. You know, I really didn't know what to do about it. And that was that night I went over to Patty's house, and I just said to her, I said, you know what, I said, I just got kicked out of my house. I don't know how to handle this. I'm not sure what to do. And she said, let's go to church. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what, you know, here I am. I need some consoling. And she wants to go to church. She says, I'm seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I had no idea what she was talking about, none. But I went to church that night with her, and little church, really we were sitting in the back, and I didn't get much. But the offering plate came around. I had a $50 bill. I threw $50 bill. Prayed the martyr's prayer. Oh God, take everything. And you know, as if $50 is everything, right?
Right.
So at the end of the service, people started going forward, and I'm back there by myself. And I'm figuring, well, it's happening up front. I better go up front. And as I was walking up front, a man reached out. And he grabbed my arm and he said, everything is going to be okay with your mother. And I thought, what? How did he possibly know that? Little did I know that God was giving him a word of knowledge concerning me. But it got me by surprise, and it caught me. Next moment, a man came up to me and he says, brother, do you want the power of God in your life? My first thought was, I already spent $50. Why not? You know,
right.
Money is worth out of the stake. So he prayed for me. And honestly, it's like I went unconscious. I fell on the floor, and you couldn't get me on a floor for nothing. And it was at that moment I started to speak in a language that I never studied. And it was absolutely, you know, it's like my head came out of my mind came out of my head and said, What are you doing? But that was a true life changer for me. Once again, here the Holy Spirit comes from another dimension, comes from the supernatural into my world and changes my life for the second time.
And I love how you are so passionate, of course, about Yeshua, but about the supernatural things of God. And we certainly appreciate that here. And Dr. Culkin, before we get to the amazing story of when you were speaking in front of 10,000 people, what did the Lord begin to do in you and through you just on a regular basis?
Well, the first thing that happened was there's so many things that started to change, like the desires in my life. There were changes. You know, there were things that I wanted to do. And like before, I would go to the racetrack. There's things that I enjoyed doing that all of a sudden I'm making excuses. My friends are calling me, say, hey, let's go. And I'm making excuses. I started to have a desire to read the Bible. Naturally, I wouldn't go to the New Testament first. I started to read the Old Testament. And I was just amazed at things that even as a Jew that I had read over and over and over again, that immediately took on a whole different connotation, a whole different way of looking at it. I started to read through the prophets and saw all the prophecies, and my mind, my intellectual mind, said there's only one person that could ever have lived all of these prophecies. One is a coincidence. Two is maybe more of a coincidence, but hundreds of these things. I mean, it just became such a reality to me. And I started to pray, really started to pray. It was perhaps the first time in my life that I really started to pray. I started to see the significance of giving. These were changes that happened. Also, I realized that something was changing where I was becoming more compassionate. I was always a very good businessman, very astute, very, you know, when it came to deals, my grandfather drummed into my head. If he said it once, he said it to me 1,000 times. First profit is when you buy. And I mean, I was brutal when it would come to some of these deals. I was a great negotiator, and I saw myself not leaning to that even in my personal life, but becoming more compassionate. And I started to say prayers being answered in the business world, that we would get into situations and I would be pray about something. I'd see something happen that I knew was supernatural, that there was no way how God could open a door and then nobody could close it, or he would close a door and no matter what I wanted to do, I could not open it. And that happened on a regular basis, day after day after day, where I saw the reality that the accepting of the Messiah, the belief that there is one way to the Father, and I had somehow tapped into that way, and it was not just for eternity, but it was for every single day.
So it wasn't too long after that you were filled with the Holy Spirit that you started speaking at different events, Full Gospel Businessmen, and different things like that, sharing your testimony. And then what happened in 1976 when you spoke at the America for Jesus?
Well, this was a year after I was actually accepted Jesus, and I was speaking at these Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. Everybody wanted to hear the testimony of how I got saved, and here I was, I had a doctorate, and here I was in business, and I had a company, and I was doing things, and they wanted to know the transition of how that happened, and you know, here you are, you have all this knowledge, and normally people, the psychological world looks at when you have a strong religious experience is you know, that you're not quite right. And here, I'm embracing it and seeing it in a daily way and seeing changes. After that man spoke that everything would be okay with your mother, my mother started to communicate. She had a dream. God came to her, calling her by her Hebrew name, Drezelenka.
Wow.
And kept. And so she knew that God was reaching out. Once again, out of the supernatural comes God in a dream to her, calling her by her Hebrew name. She knows she has to make peace with me. But my father was very sick. He had terminal cancer, had Hodgkin's disease in the fourth stage. He was on a government research program at the Cleveland Clinic. And I was asked to speak at this rally at Penn State Fieldhouse. There were 10,000 people there. I was the keynote speaker on a Saturday night. And there were all kinds of obstructions that would stop me. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to naturally see the power of God move, and he'll throw everything in your path. But we made it there, and while I was on the stage, it's never happened to me before that, and it's never happened to me since, but I actually heard a voice. I actually, at one time when I was speaking, turned around because I thought somebody was speaking right behind me, and the voice said to me several times, "Go down, lay hands upon your father. I'm going to heal him tonight. Go down, lay hands upon your father. I'm going to heal him tonight." And my father went there because he wanted to hear me speak before he died. That was his reason for going to that meeting. My grandmother was there, my mother, my brother. I mean, this Jewish family that God was dealing with, they didn't even know he was dealing with them, went to hear me speak because they said, "Sandy's a good speaker, let's go hear him speak." And so it was in the middle of that meeting that I heard that voice. I walked down. There were hundreds and hundreds of people that came forward to be prayed for. It was a powerful, powerful meeting. I walked down, and I laid hands on my father, and I said, "Daddy, Jesus wants to heal you tonight." And my father bowed his head. He closed his eyes, started to cry. And that was the prayer. And then the meeting went on, and it was just one of those great, powerful meetings that happens. You get 10,000 people that are up there praising God. It's amazing. You never know what happens.
Right.
But my mother, that was on Saturday night. My mother called me on Monday from the Cleveland Clinic. She was crying. She couldn't even talk. I thought, oh, my gosh, wonder if my dad died. And finally she composed herself, and she said they cannot find a trace of Hodgkin's disease in his body. They want to keep him. They want to find out what drugs were working, what happened. And I said, "Mom," I said, "you know it was Jesus." She said, "I know." And that was the beginning of change in our entire family. When God did that miracle, you know, it says the Greeks take wisdom, but Jews take signs. And that was a sign. And my whole family started then to be open to the power of God, that Jesus was truly the Messiah, that God had a plan for their lives, and that there was a tremendous resurrection of spirituality that started to take place in a Jewish family.
Boy, I can feel the presence of the Lord just when you're speaking about this testimony. I mean, your whole family getting changed and touched by God. And Dr. Culkin, you're in your own home. You have many miracles, but one that stands out in particular, you and your wife, you say that you have miracle children. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, my wife had one ovary. She had issues when she was a teenager. They removed an ovary. She only had one. And we wanted to have children, and we couldn't. It just seemed like it wasn't happening. We went, and they found a cyst on my wife's only remaining ovary, and they felt that this was very serious. The cyst was growing. You know, we agreed that they would go in, take a look, maybe see if they could remove the cyst. We didn't know what it would take. And the night before that operation took place, I had this dream. And I've had several really what I feel very supernatural dreams. This was one of them, where I had a picture of an old man, and he was holding a baby in his hands, and he was crying and weeping, but you could tell they weren't tears of sorrow, but they were tears of joy. And he kept lifting this baby over his head and lifting up the baby over his head and crying. And in the middle of that dream, a voice spoke, and the voice said, "This is my servant Abraham, and as I gave him a male child, I will give you a male child." And so I woke up out of that sound sleep. I woke Patty up. I told her about the dream. You know, I could just tell something went into her. There was faith that went into her. We went in to have the procedure done, and here they wrote on their hysterectomy. And so my wife is very easygoing, laid back kind of gal. Boy, you could have tell the tiger came out of her tank. She was not going to have it. She was ready to walk out. Her faith was in that dream that God had given me. And so the doctor said, okay, I'll go in. I'll do an exploratory. And so she went into surgery, and they found out that the cyst, he put his scalpel in the cyst, as he was explaining, just sort of peeled back off that ovary, just peeled back. He didn't remove hardly any of the ovary. He found out the thing that was keeping her from getting pregnant was from her previous surgery that adhesions had formed and had tied the fallopian tube, so they could not catch the egg. And so he freed them up. He took out a little bit of endometriosis. And of course, we Jews, we work fast. And she was pregnant 3 months later. So you know how it works. And,
yes.
And 9 months after that, my male child was born.
Wow. One of Sid's number one favorite things to talk about is Jewish people coming to the knowledge of Yeshua. And that's the number one passion on Sid's heart. And we love that here at this ministry. And Dr. Culkin, you were radically touched by God, saved. You met Yeshua, spoke in tongues, started moving into the supernatural. Your father gets healed. So many wonderful things are happening. But there's so many miracles that you have seen personally that we can't get into them all. What are just some of the miracles that you've seen?
Well, you know, it's very easy. I got connected with a Catholic Bible study, and I started out with 10 people. A year later, we had 2,400.
Wow.
It's just amazing what happened. And it happened as a result of miracles. One of the most profound miracles that happened early on was this little gal had a child that had deformed legs. They were going to break the legs. They were deformed at the knees. And I remember picking up this baby, just holding this child in my arms. And we just started to pray. It's not like we were faith healers. We were just a bunch of guys that and gals that loved God. You know, they were Catholics. They were just such a spiritual force. Here I am, a Jewish guy in the midst of all these Catholics. And I picked this baby up, and this baby started to move, and those legs straightened in front of our very eyes. I want to tell you something. At that moment, I almost passed out, but I was holding a baby. And that was one of the most demonstrative things. We saw all kinds of things. There were cancers that were healed. There were people who had tuberculosis. There were all kinds of female disorders. And one of the biggest things were women that couldn't have children that were able to conceive. As God had touched my wife, I saw that anointing flow. We had ears that popped. There were so many things, goiters that seemed to be removed. There was like one woman had cancer of the thyroid, went in for an operation. They couldn't find anything. There was story after story after story of this. I was in a restaurant a year ago, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "Oh, are you Sandy Culkin?" And I said, "Yes." Yeah. She says, "My daughter wants to see you." She's sitting over there, and I went over, and she told me the story. I was a little girl. She came forward, and she had this disease that was all over her hands, where kids would make fun of her. And I reached out, and I grabbed her hands, and prayed over them. And so we're sitting there. Of course, I don't hear anything. Now it is she's an adult, and she starts to cry. She shows me her hands. They are the most beautiful hands. Here she's a hand model.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, and so those are the kinds of things that happen. We were ordinary people, but the supernatural came into our world as a result of faith. That's one thing I saw, that this prayer group, man, they had faith, and we believed in miracles. I don't know how many people got saved during that time, filled with the Holy Spirit. There were countless. There were just years and years of tremendous blessing. And then, then the Holy Spirit moved on to something else. So we're very thankful. I'm very thankful I saw that. But, you know, it just wasn't for them. I see it all the time. Where God will give a word of knowledge, and I'll be in a church, and the Lord will point somebody out to me as I'm there, and I'll go over to that person, I'll speak to them. It's a word of knowledge. It comes out from another dimension, and lo and behold, it addresses maybe a healing or something in their life, and a miracle happens. I get testimony after testimony of these words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophetic words that come forth, and it's their thoughts that come into your mind. And they're there by the Holy Spirit. They come from another dimension. So when somebody talks to me about, is tongues real today? You're not going to get me not to believe tongues are real today. You're not going to get me to believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not in operation today. You're not going to get me to believe that words of knowledge are not powerful, and that the spiritual utterances that come from heaven, that even though they come from a person's mouth, are not relevant and real. And so I've seen so much of this happen, and it happens to me in the business world also. I could be in a business meeting, and God will put a thought in my mind concerning something, and lo and behold, I'll go right there, and that's where the problem in a company is. Whether it's a Fortune 500, a Fortune 50, a mama-papa store, a government agency, I see it happening all the time. It's relevant. It's relevant for today.
Amen. So, Dr. Culkin, your own daughter took quite a fall at the age of 4, what happened?
Well, we were in Boston. We were visiting my sister, who lived in a high-rise apartment building, and my sister and my oldest daughter and my wife went out, and I was watching two young kids, my son that was 6, my daughter was 4, and they had safety bars on the windows, and, you know, they're watching TV, and all of a sudden, I'm just laying down because we're going to drive from Boston back to Pittsburgh, and my son comes running in. He says, "Daddy, Daddy, Ashley fell out of the window. Ashley fell out of the window." I mean, I didn't know. I was startled. I woke up. I looked right out through the safety bars, right out of a third-story window, and laying on the ground. And I ran immediately, you know, with my son behind me, left my sister's baby up in the bed, and we ran down to go be with my daughter. And there she was laying on the ground, and I remember crying out to God. And, you know, it's not time for great theology at that point or great theological prayers. It's time to say, "Jesus, help me." And boy, did he. I saw her take a breath. I knew she was alive. Somebody had come out. The ambulance came. I'm in a strange town. It's not like cell phones were there. I could get in touch with my wife. We went to the hospital. And so they take my daughter in, and finally my wife and my sister show up. And I think that was the most terrifying time, a time when I had to come to grips with, you know, "Lord, I believe that you gave her to me. She was a miracle when she came. The umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck several times. They literally pushed her out. Her life has been a miracle. You gave her, and I'm going to kind of stand on that." And lo and behold, the doctor came out after that. And he says, "Dr. Culkin," and he says, "we looked your daughter over. That fall was an amazing fall, but all we could find was 3 little bruises, one on her shoulder, one on right above her buttocks, and one down on her leg." And my immediate thought was 3 fingers of an angel broke her fall. That was my immediate thought. And he said, "You can take her home." And it was amazing that had happened. We were just overwhelmed, praising God, thankful, and just became so sensitive to people who lose children and realized it's probably the greatest sacrifice, that God sacrificed his own child, and that sacrifice in a family, such a painful one, is such a sacrifice. And we became very sensitive to that. But it was a few months after that. I was down in Georgia, and I was getting ready to speak on a Sunday. And I was just in this sleep, and a voice came to me while I was in this dream, in this sleep, and this voice said to me, I saved your daughter's life for the children not yet born from her body. And I think that's very significant, from her body.
Yes.
Because from that time on, my daughters had terrible times with their reproductive system. There were things that were just not very, very good that happened in her life. And I believe it was the enemy trying to steal her reproduction and her ability to conceive. And so, but she stood on that word that God saved her life for the children not yet born from her body. And it was just a year ago, probably 2 years ago, that she became pregnant. You know, I pray with 10 Nigerian women, and we just called the baby out, and you know, we watched her conceive when we didn't think that it was going to happen, and we saw her conceived, and out came a baby. In fact, I'm at their house right now. We babysat for their first anniversary. And they called her a warrior. Her name is Sophie. They called Sophie a warrior. Let me tell you, we babysat for the first time. She's a warrior, no doubt. So, you know, that is the miracle power of God that is so personal to me that, you know, it's hard to talk about it without crying.
Now, Dr. Calkin, you've seen many miracles in your life and in your family. And in one in particular, you call it a vicious attack on your finances. What happened there? How did God bring you out of that?
Well, you know, I was in a business with my father and my grandfather. Even though I was educated in a different realm, my father needed me, my grandfather needed me. It's one of the things that I respect so much about the Jewish culture is the respect for the elderly, the respect for parents. And I grew up with that. And so I was really willing to put a career on hold to go be with them. When they passed away, when my grandfather and then my father, when they passed away, I went through some terrible estate situations. We were involved in a petroleum business, and it was just really a nightmare. And I struggled for years dealing with that. You know, I have an attorney in one ear telling me to go bankrupt, and in the other ear, I have God saying, "Look, you can see this through. I'm going to take care of you." And there was a significant event that I believe that broke a spirit of poverty that was trying to attack me. And what happened was we sowed out of our debt, and we never stopped tithing during that time. We always believed in the miracle power of giving, and really this was a time now we're giving out of our need and not just out of our abundance. And we sowed an IOU. Interesting. There was a message that came in our church that talked about sowing the amount of your debt. And at that point, I had $300,000 that was due immediately that I needed. And so I sowed an IOU for $30,000, even though I didn't have it. But I stood on the scripture that God would provide seed to the sower. And lo and behold, it was just weeks after that that somebody called me and said, "You know, Sandy, you were such a blessing at our church. You had such significant impact here that we're merging with another ministry, and that the board wants to send your ministry this money." And of course, I asked, "How much was it?" And they said, "Well, we're going to send you $33,000." And you know, here it was the amount of the IOU plus now it's the tithe in addition to that. And so one of the hardest things I had to do is when you owe money is to give that seed away. On one shoulder, it's like, you know, God was saying, "Remember your vow." On the
right.
Shoulder, the enemy's saying, "Are you nuts? Are you crazy? Remember your vow. Are you stupid?" But we gave it away, and that definitely broke a spirit of poverty that we never looked back. God paid off the debt, paid off millions of dollars, came from places I could not even imagine where it would come from. And God did, what a miracle, what a tremendous thing. And today, you know, God has blessed us. We're tremendously prosperous. And so I thank God for every ounce of that miracle power. And truly, if anything, if somebody said, "Could you have done that on your own?" I would have said, "Absolutely not." It was truly a heavenly, a godly event, supernatural happenings that took place that made that happen.
Your own mother got healed.
Well, you know, my mother turned out to be one of my groupies. She had, you know, she struggled with a lot of things, you know, because she was so very Jewish, and she had a scleroderma, which is can be very fatal. And I'll never forget, we took her to this scleroderma meeting, and she saw people, you know, that she was very, she saw people that were deformed. And, you know, as a result of some of this, it's a collagen disease. It's very, very difficult and is very fatal when the organs begin to harden. And she was there, and we prayed. I'll never forget going out of that meeting and praying. My mother said, she said, "I'm not going to die." She said, "I'm going to believe that God is going to heal me. I'm going to believe in these things that I have seen." She said, "I'm never going back to a meeting like that." My mother went into remission for 28 years. She outlived everybody at that meeting, including the doctors that were there. And it was happening. I remember we went to a church one night, and this pastor had prayed for her, and it was right after that she made that decision, had prayed for her. My mother went out. She went unconscious. She went out on the power. You could not get my mother. My mother would not lay on a floor. If you knew my mother, I mean, it could never happen.
Wow.
And she went out. The power of God was on her, and that's when the remission started. 28 years of a full life. And so it doesn't get any better than that. That, and those were the things that a whole Jewish family saw: the healing of my father, the healing of my mother, you know, the lives that changed, the miracles that took place. They all caught attention. And so they all developed a spiritual awakening, and God has moved mightily in all of their lives.
So you may be at home wondering, okay, what does this all mean for me? Well, we wanted you to hear the backstory of Dr. Calkin, how he met the Messiah, flowed in the supernatural. Many healings, miracles, signs and wonders, blessings have come his way. There's a real destiny. There's a real joy on Dr. Calkin's life and his family. It's not that you would be the first one to say, it's not that your life has been without trials and tests and tribulations, but you have learned to persevere and walk with God as a Jewish believer in Yeshua, and you have put something very special together. And if you could just take some time and talk about this, it is really what you describe as the next step in people's life, ministry, destiny. Talk about what you've put together and how this is going to help the people at home.
Well, coming from the world of psychology, I realized how important it is for people to understand who they are as a person. You know, it's interesting when the scripture talks about know thyself. And what we did was we put together a kind of like a series of questions that allows you to identify your style. Every person in the scriptures had a style. They had a behavioral style. They had strengths. They had weaknesses. They had fears. And God dealt with every one of those people in a specific way. All of them had pretty much had miracles going on, or they dealt with a controversy, or they dealt with pain, they dealt with issues. And God had a unique way of dealing with each person individually according to their own style. And so what we did was we put this in a way that Christians, you know, oftentimes people say, oh, pop psychology or something along that line. But what the truth is, we all have certain personality traits. We all have them. And they were given to us at birth. There were things that we have genetically. There's things that we've learned from experience. And so what we've done is we put this together in a very simple way where somebody can take a very simple assessment of themselves, and in just a few minutes, you can see your style, and then you can relate it to that of this biblical personality that's in the scriptures. And you can learn about your fears, learn about the things that will stop you from moving ahead, learn about the things that you should be accentuating and where the enemy will come against you. And in the middle of knowing yourself, God wants to speak to you. He wants to demonstrate to you how you can go to a next level, how you can be a better communicator, how you can be a better person, not only from the intellectual sense, the mental sense, but from the spiritual sense. Because God's going to communicate to each person in a different way. And he's going to speak out to you in the dreams and in the visions and in the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, thoughts that will come into your mind, doors that open, doors that close, confirming things in the scripture to you that are so unique to you. And as you embrace this, God uses this information to take you through circumstances, to take you through trials, difficulties, to take you into realms that you've never been before, and to show you how your style, you are uniquely developed, how you are specifically designed to navigate the stream that God has you on.
Now, how does a special package that you put together more specifically begin to help me take my next step in my destiny? In other words, there's many people listening, Dr. Calkin, that are like, man, that amen, I like that, I want that. How does this help you begin to take that next step?
Well, the first thing is to find out about yourself. And everybody wants to know something about themselves. And you start looking at the people around you, and you see that oftentimes people, they're different, they're predictably different, but they're not necessarily wrong. And then once you have this information, we're going to have a couple tapes here where we're going to show you how to use this information and how to allow the Holy Spirit to use you. And then I want to impart to every person that's listening and every person that's gone through this process, I want to impart to you the anointing that God gave to me. He gave me an anointing and an expertise of understanding people, of recognizing how my style fits in every situation, recognizing how the enemy comes against me to see his designs, to see his purposes, and to know how to come against it. And it's very interesting that people who start using this information start getting thoughts from God that they never had before. That there'll be ways of looking at things. Insights will change. Views of people will change. The way people walk in their destiny, their purpose, things that happen on their job, things that will happen with children and grandchildren, things that will that you looked at a certain way, all of a sudden, now you look at it in a different perspective. In addition to that, each of these people that we relate you to in the scripture, they had miracles. And you can go ahead and look in the scripture. The same way God used the miracles in their lives is the same way God will use miracles in your life. And there are many that feel like they will want to teach this, or they'll want to use this in counseling, or they'll want to just be a better listener, or they'll want to enact and have miracles flow through them into other people's lives. It will happen. As God gives you these truths and you begin to act upon it, you will see these things, things that have happened to me, things that I have used day in and day out, things I've used in business, things I've used in ministry, things that I've used while I've been on the pulpit, anointing, things that will happen to you. And so we want to go ahead and impart this to you. I believe the world of the supernatural is as relevant today as it was back in the time of Jesus. I believe it's as relevant today as it's been through the dimensions of the church. I believe that it's as relevant today in dealing with the answers to prayer, dealing with the receiving of miracles. I believe it's relevant today, and every person should have that tool in their box to be able to use as God would will.
Now, Dr. Calkin, in a moment, if you could think of a testimony or two about people that have taken this assessment, what it's done for their life. But even personally, for me, I took this assessment, and I was taking it, and I was finding out about myself and doing all what the assessment told me to do, and I could not wait to get to the part of the booklet that talks about, okay, this is who you are. This is who you relate to in the Bible. This is how you relate to Jesus. This is how you can just really, this is how God designed you. And it's very, it was right on. Let me just put it that way. It's very specific and right on and enlightening. I took this assessment. I loved it. It brought such joy to my heart because I was like, yes, that's me. And not only that, but okay, I see where I need to work on this. And this is why I'm like that. And it really ministered to me. But Dr. Calkin, what have some of the people people said after taking this biblical assessment?
Well, you know, I remember a gal who was she had gone through a terrible divorce, and she was a leader, a Girl Scout leader, and she was trying to, you know, make an income on the side. And I remember she came through and took our course, and she was amazed at how God spoke to her so many times over these young girls that she was dealing with, and how God would show her their future. As she saw, she would give them this behavioral style, this assessment that related the behavioral style, and she saw how, you know, it like empowered them in a certain way, you know. And you know, over years, I've had teachers tell me this, because we work in many of the schools and colleges, and there are those that are believers that take this very seriously, and they see how it can. Oftentimes, kids just don't know what they want to do. They're between a couple of opinions. They're not quite sure what they want to be, and so it's very interesting how that's the supernatural will be used in the guidance of another person. I've seen people in business where they wanted to hire the right people, and how God inspired them over one person as opposed to another because of these certain things, these traits that they saw, and also the words of wisdom that came to their minds. You know, it's just amazing how this has been used, and especially, you know, in the world of ministry. There's no question that in the world of ministry that, you know, you start seeing people that have certain issues in their life, and people that have taken the assessments, that have used these things profoundly, have been able to help people in ministry. It just takes their ministry to another level because they see a whole different dimension, a whole different side of people, especially in the realm of relationships. So, I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many, especially in the business realm where we go, you know, and how to deal with difficult situations. Oftentimes, there's businesses in the middle. They're in a why, and which one do you take? And you know, a person will they're praying. And I work for a major music company, and it was amazing how God would show us how to put a team together to do this. And once that team together, a door would open, and there were certain opportunities that took place. And it happened over and over and over again. All I can tell you is that, you know, knowledge is power, and information is power. And there's a world of natural information. There's a world of spiritual information. And what we have been able to do is combine these two to really enlighten a person and to see victory in almost every situation that they apply.
That is awesome. Seeing victory in almost every situation that you apply. I love that. Now, Dr. Calkin, the uniqueness of this assessment, which is off the charts, is that you relate each one of us to different biblical characters. And even Jesus, you relate everybody to a part of Jesus that we see in the Word of God. How did God show you to do all this, to really, my personality, my heart, my gifting corresponds with somebody in the Bible? Talk about that.
Well, you know, when I'd read the scriptures, I'd want to know, well, why did people do what they do? You know, I mean, it was the same question I asked about my kids. Why did they do what they do? And I'm sure it's the same thing that people say about me. Why does he do what he do? Why does he do what he does? And so, you know, the great thing about this understanding is that God gives you kind of like a frame of reference. And it's quite interesting that I chair the largest private Christian foster care agency in America called the Bear Foundation, BAIR, the Bear Foundation. And we're in 9 states. We did 7,000 kids in therapeutic foster care. And so many of the parents that foster these kids use this information to take troubled kids, kids that have no future, throwaway kids, and to help them with combined with the power of God and taking them and giving them good spiritual awareness. When I saw how God used many of the people in the Bible, I mean, why did he choose a Moses who couldn't speak well? Why did he line him up with an Aaron? Why did Moses, you know, he took him out and one of the greatest Jewish stories, you know, in the Bible, the story of the Passover. Why did he choose a Moses who would take him out and train him in logistics? Because he had the personality that he could learn. He had that personality. And look at the miracles, how many miracles Moses called down. But yet he was so much different than Aaron, who was his partner. Aaron was very, outgoing, people-oriented, relational. He could even compromise at one time. But yet he was a good communicator. And here he teamed up two people of different styles to go ahead and to lead a nation for 40 years. And so, why did he do these things? Because he created them in a certain way. He developed them. When I started seeing, why did Solomon, why was he different, a different king than David? Why, how could David write the Psalms and be melancholy in some way and yet be a fighter in another way? Because he had the style to do that. Why was Peter, he would reject Jesus in one moment, yet he would get out and speak and thousands would be saved because he had the right personality to do that. And miracles came from every one of their hands. And so I believe as we understand more about ourselves, how we're wired, how God made us, that we are absolute candidates for miracles, every one of us. But we have to understand how God would flow through us. What are the thoughts that we would think? Why do we filter a certain way? What are the ways that God would use us? And at the same time, the enemy want to displace us. So, once you understand this stuff, you become more of a conduit, more of a vehicle to see the power of God flow through you.
Boy, that's good. I like that. The more that you understand who you are in Him and how God designed you, the more you're going to see the presence and power of God. And that is what I found to be true with taking the Biblical Personality System assessment. And that's what you're going to receive. You're going to receive this wonderful booklet called the Biblical Personality System, and it's going to really show you who you are, how God designed you, who you personally relate to in the Word of God, including Jesus for everybody. And then in the two CD set, Dr. Calkin takes it even further and says, okay, you have this information. Now here's what you do with it to get God thoughts, to take the next step in your life and ministry. Dr. Calkin, will you please pray over the people before you go?
Absolutely. Father God, we just thank you so much for every person that's listening to this broadcast. And Lord, I believe that there's some that are there that have tremendous needs in their lives. Not one person listening by accident, not one person that's going to view the program by accident, but each person uniquely designed to go to another level in their lives. Father, I pray over them right now. I pray that, God, you would speak to them, that you would give them God thoughts, that you would empower them in a way that they can't even imagine, that, Lord, you would take them into realms that they look back and say, I can't believe that this is where I am at this point, that you've taken me so far, that you've undone so much, that you've created uniqueness and things that were designed specifically for me. And so, Lord, I speak and bless these that are listening. I bless the ministry of Sid Roth. Lord, I speak right now that the supernatural is alive and well on the face of the earth, and that, God, that we are going to move in a realm in these days like we've never imagined, that you're going to open a realm to us to hear things, to see things, to visualize, to know things that is unique to this time and this period of history. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the fact that you made us each individually, made us because you loved us in a special way, each one made to do an assignment on the face of this earth. We serve you. We honor you. We love you. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and Master, that we pray.
Amen. And I can tell you, Sid wants you to go to the next level, and this package will do that. You've been listening to Messianic Vision with our guest, Dr. Sandy Calkin. And now here's Sid to tell you how you can get this special offer.
Dr. Sandy Calkin has a passion to help people discover their God-given destiny and purpose in this life through his Biblical Personality System Profile, an exclusive brand-new 2-CD set, Your Supernatural Destiny. It's time to take the next step in your destiny through Dr. Calkin's Biblical Personality System Profile, an exclusive brand-new 2-CD set, Your Supernatural Destiny, for an investment of $35. To order,
call 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or go to our website at sidroth.org. That's SIDROTH.ORG. Dr. Sandy Culkin's Biblical Personality System Profile, an exclusive brand new 2-CD set, Your Supernatural Destiny, offer number 9579 for an investment of $35. Be sure to ask for offer number 9579. Once again, that's offer number 9579.